Something's going on. Just tell me what's going on.
Manan is dying.
She has a stage 4 lung cancer. The doctor says she has 3 months. Could be faster, you never know.
I need to call her.
You can't do that.
I need to go see her.
You can't do that.
She doesn't know. The family thinks it's better not to tell her, so you can't say anything.
I don't understand. She doesn't have a lot of time left. She should know, right?
There's nothing they can do. So everyone decided it's better not to tell her.
Why is that better?
Chinese people have saying, when people get cancer, they die.
It's not the cancer that kills them. It's the fear.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Retro Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to stage an entire fake wedding just to avoid a difficult conversation with his grandma, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thanks. That's a banger. well done on that one. Yeah, agree. Hard agree. I don't have a grandma to deceive, but...
Or just a relative. You know, I can see you just... You're like, you know, I'll go through this entire wedding plan because it's easier.
Yep, I'm going to marry a girl. She's from Canada. Mm-hmm. She doesn't go here. You can't see her. We eloped, you know.
Yeah,
her name is Restricted Federal Code, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you do what you got to do. Yeah, do what you got to do. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is the show where every week Perk and I review a movie that is connected to the last one we watched. If you like our show, we post every Friday on podcast services and now YouTube. We are on YouTube now, so go and check that out and subscribe there. One other update for people who are fans of the podcast. I've now added in the description every week our bonus reviews that we talk about. So if you want to see if we talk about like a recent movie, you can look at that really quick and see if we mention that. So on YouTube now and bonus reviews are in the description. But last week, we watched Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings, and we followed Awkwafina to this week's movie, The Farewell. Perk, why don't you intro for us?
Yeah, all right. So The Farewell is a 2019 joint directed by Lulu Wang, starring the aforementioned Awkwafina. And it follows the story of a Chinese family living in America who get the news that grandma has stage 4 lung cancer and isn't going to make it. And it grapples with the Chinese tradition of not telling the sick elderly person that they are, you know, terminal with cancer, mm-hmm. because at this point in their life, why burden them with that information? It has like a bit of a back and forth between like Western and Eastern sensibilities on the mm-hmm. matter with mm-hmm. a American family and the majority Chinese like roots of the family.
Yeah.
I figure we probably ought to start with you on this one, Jacob, because,
Give us some fun facts, yeah.
I got into host mode, my bad.
That's my job.
There's a lot of fun facts about this one. First of all, Lulu Wang is the pianist for the score, which is
cool.
Awesome. Yeah, it's just awesome. The great aunt, the sister of Nai Nai, is played by her real-life counterpart,
mm-hmm.
Which is a cool touch, and I think she's great. You know, she doesn't have too much to do, but she has a couple really nice monologues.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, and then the intro card, which is great, says mm-hmm. this story is based on a true lie or mm-hmm. a real lie, and it's true. This happened in Lulu Wang's family with her grandma, and the post-credit title card as well that says 6 years later, Nai Nai is still with us. Is true. Yeah, crazy. To the point where, like, through all the production and everything, they didn't spoil the secret for Nai Nai until the movie debuted in China, where the title of the film is Don't Tell Her. Mm-hmm. And one of Nai Nai's friends read a review and sent it to her. And that's how she found out that her diagnosis, basically.
Yeah, which is insane.
Yeah. The fact that they made an entire movie without telling her the plot. And like I think she visited set a few times and could clearly see that they were playing her family. And it's and what a shame to have it actually finally blown. But I don't know if she's still with us. The last stories on this were from 2020 when she found out. But what crazy that, you know, a 3-month diagnosis still was alive and alive 7 years later.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things with that. I won't get that movie in a second, but just with the real life story of it all. Like, imagine getting fake married because you're like, oh, Nai Nai's going to die in 3 months. Then we can, you know, either continue or not. Yeah. But then Nai Nai never, like, she keeps going for 6-7 years. It's like, okay. We've got to keep up appearances. Like, that's insane.
I suppose I'm very curious now what happened with Aiko and Hao.
Yeah, like that's like the crazy. Yeah, Hao is the cousin. Yeah, that's the craziest thing about this to me. It's like it's the whole fake wedding having to like keep that up and.
Yeah, like that, going on 7 years of marriage and Nai Nai is still you know kicking around and she doesn't know up until 2020. So maybe they you know wrote it out with like a divorce or something or a separation. I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah,
I'm but very then, curious. I will ask Lulu Wang the next time we have her on the podcast.
The other crazy thing is, yeah, the fact that she lived, or who knows, maybe still alive, but lived so long after diagnosis, and you have to wonder, like, is it because of her not knowing, like her belief that she is healthy, mind over matter kind of thing, like it's. And you know it's one person, so you can't apply it to everybody. No, but it's just very just
it's
crazy.
It's a crazy coincidence that she is that person. You know,
yeah.
Because I'm sure for most people in that scenario, even if they don't tell the elder, like it probably still they nearly hit their diagnosis or maybe even pass beforehand. But
yeah,
how crazy that. Like this is the story that gets told is of the like person beating their timeline by years and years.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, getting into the movie itself, I loved it. This movie was absolutely fantastic.
I was going to stop this podcast forever if you said anything else.
No, like I'm blown away. Like the cast is absolutely incredible. Like, I mean, it's all based on reality, and I'm not sure how much, like, is added, but just kind of the personalities of all the different members of the family and how they interplay, and Billy at the center of it, Awkwafina is just, like, incredible to watch, because she's so good at being emotionless out of necessity. Like, she has to kind of suppress her emotions in order to keep up the facade. And therefore, she's not. And there are moments of happiness and smiling, but like, to me, it just felt like she's just like suppress, and it's just really sad to watch. And I really loved, like you said in your introduction, like the comparison of the Eastern and Western culture and those different conversations that they have throughout the movie. And you know, it's like they don't really display one as right or wrong. It's just different, you know, and that's I guess kind of foreshadowed by her conversation with the bellhop when he's asking her about America and not leaving her alone.
It's just different.
Yeah, it's just different. So yeah, I thought this was incredible, just showcase of Chinese culture and an incredible story performance and just a really fucked up story, if I'm being completely honest. Like this whole thing is so fucked up, like but just really like mesmerizing to watch.
Yeah, so it's I love watching movies where I learn something about something I had no idea about because this is just so out of any sort of frame of reference for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Because as they mentioned in the movie, it's illegal to withhold that type of information.
Yeah.
But also you can see the reasoning, right? Yeah. Like, and especially with, having parts of the family on different sides of the issue, it really helps the audience pick apart and like find their own stance on it, because you have differing viewpoints in the movie and no one is painted as correct.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of just left up to the viewer, you know, or you can side with, it's crazy that they wouldn't tell her, which it is, or you mm-hmm. can side with, well, if she only has so long to live, why should she spend that time worrying about a disease? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, to, I don't know, focus in a little bit here. We'll start with, Awkwafina. I am furious that she wasn't nominated for an Oscar for lead actress.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And should have just won it. given this was before I started, it was in the period between, because I nerded out really hard for movies in like 2016 through 19 and then gave up for a couple of years and then came back. But it's so sad because I looked back at the Oscar noms for that year and one of them that stuck out that I did watch was ScarJo for Marriage Story. Which she was great in that. Mm. So, but there were like three on that list that were in biopics that are just titled like the person's first name. And it's like, God, yeah. That's just so mainline Oscars. I think I forget who won, but they won for their portrayal of Judy Garland in a movie called Judy.
It was Renee Zellweger.
Okay. Which yeah. I'm sure she was great, right? But it feels lame to always see just the biopics get all the love.
Yeah. Hey, this is also kind of a biopic. It's based on a real person's real story.
It is, but the sneaky biopics. The sneaky biopics are the ones that you like. And the one, like this one's not titled Nine-Eye. Although Nine-Eye would be a better title than Judy. But yeah, Awkwafina is outstanding. I agree with you. The way that she portrays, you know, like stoicism, but you can clearly see in her eyes like pain.
Yeah.
It's so good. And her moments of catharsis, of breakdown are mm-hmm. so powerful. She just absolutely steals the scenes where she has, you know, her big monologues. I think specifically of the scene where she's sitting on the floor talking to her mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a powerful scene. And it digs up, you know, memories, because they're talking about, you know, summers at grandma's and stuff like that. And I think maybe the emotional punch of that hits harder for me because I kind of was lacking for experience with grandparents through a number of factors. I was never really close with any of my grandparents, at least at an age that I remember. But
yeah,
the acting, the performances do such a good job of putting you in the moment that I can just like physically put myself into that relationship, even though I have no connection to it really.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That scene, the two scenes that are to me like the most powerful arguments for either side are, one's that scene where she's talking about not only, well, it's two things. One is just not knowing that their grandpa was sick and him just being gone, right? And having no way to kind of process that because it was so sudden. And
interrupt real quick, but one thing I caught on second watch, which I hadn't the first time, is there's a scene where Awkwafina's laying in bed looking at her window. Mm. There's like a figure of a man smoking out the window and then he fades away. And I didn't connect the first time that's her grandpa, you know, and the puff of smoke is him just gone. I love it. I got goosebumps talking about it right now.
Yeah. No, that was great. And like, yeah. And so it's her grandpa being gone suddenly. And then also they're moving to the US and she's like, I don't know what's going on. You wouldn't tell me anything. So you, through that scene, it's like, wouldn't you want Nine-Eye to know that she was dying and not turn to be in the situation where things are just happening. You don't know what's going on, and no one's telling you the truth, right? On the flip side, I really like the scene with she finds her dad and her uncle, like, drinking and smoking, you know, at the hotel.
Yeah.
And the uncle's like, you know, in China, where it's more about the community and society, and, you know, the Nina shouldn't have to bear this burden of this disease. The rest of the family, it's our job it's to our bear job. The burden for her, you know. And I'm like, that. Yeah, I get it. Like, it's really a great dichotomy between the two. And like you said, they don't really choose a correct answer. It's just, you know, here's where these people are coming from. Yeah, it's just, it's really powerful and very hard to watch. Like, that final goodbye. Just come on. Like,
you surely you were a basket case, right?
it's so I was brutal.
Like, out loud crying. And I've seen it before. I knew it was coming. When she steps out into the road in the rear view window, and Nai-Nai starts crying, and Awkwafina starts crying, and the mom starts crying, and I start crying. It's just a moment.
Because also it's like, and I guess not, but it's like, part of me is like, does Nai-Nai actually know, right? Because like, if this is a societal thing in China, right? And if you're an elderly person, you gotta wonder. And if you're like, get a little sick, you're like,
yeah,
do I have cancer? And no one's telling me. Like, if this is like a common thing, like, do you think about that, you know?
I love that. So with the necessary context that she had the secret exposed to her in 2020, hadn't known. I think that without that context, the movie does a beautiful job of letting you try and figure that out on your own.
Switch gears a little bit. Yeah, I wanted to talk about like the comedy of this movie, because there is some comedy.
Yes.
I thought her cousin Hao Hao was just perfectly cast. Like, this dude just looks like a young, just kind of this goober, you know, and being thrown into this whole like fake wedding thing with his girlfriend of 3 months, and he didn't say anything for most of the movie. He's just kind of there, and like when they're taking like the wedding photos in the background, and like it's super awkward when Nai-Nai and Billy are kind of walking around talking. I thought that was really funny. And then, you know, at the wedding, he's like getting absolutely wasted. But then there are really like real moments at that wedding where the uncle breaking down the speech, and then even and Hao breaking down
during the photos.
Yeah. And it's I wonder if he's breaking down because of Nai-Nai going to die, or because he's realizing none of this is real. Like, this wedding isn't real. And that's like more heartbreak. I'm not sure.
I think it was probably more for Nai-Nai.
Sure.
Rather than the wedding. But it could be like, people are not unidimensional creatures. It could be a combination of things, like this whole spectacle for me. And then in reality, it's built on sadness.
Yeah. But I really liked him and his fiance, just kind of as background characters that are just not completely comedic relief, but it was just kind of funny to watch them like not understand Chinese very well and be like, what's going on, you know?
I think that the movie really balances it has a pretty wide cast of characters, and most of them do not have too much to do, but they all still get fleshed out, you know?
Yeah,
like
each
character has their niche, and you kind of know who they are, even if they're only given a couple scenes of dialogue, or like Aiko, who doesn't speak Chinese, you know? This movie is, it is funny. There are a lot of funny moments. I struggle to pick them out in particular, because none of them are like, oh, here comes a joke. Here comes a joke. Joke! You know, it's more just situational comedy that kind of just it works its way in, and it feels very smooth. And
it felt real. I mean,
continuous. Like, yeah.
In moments like these, it's not all sadness, right? There's going to be small, like, moments of joy, and
there's even levity. Like
her Billy and Nai-Nai being outside. She's teaching her, is it like Tai Chi, like the ha, you know, and just constantly trying to set Billy up with like the doctor, just like talking to her about like, you know, you got to find a man or whatever. I love the conversation when she's like, you need to find someone to take care of you. And she's like, Mr. Lee takes care of you.
Mr. Lee,
like,
take care of you?
It's going to be independent. Yeah. That was a great I also, it's not really comedic, but like I loved Billy's mom as a character. Like she was incredible. I think the scene where they're talking in the hotel room about where she's going, like, I don't cry, you know, like that's not how I, like people expect you to cry to like show how much you love, you know, your family, but that's just not how I express my feelings, which is great. But I also love the scene where, I don't remember if they're like family friends, but they're at that big like lunch and like the friends are like, oh yeah, we're sending Thao or whatever to America for school. And but they're also talking about how good China is. So Blaze Mom's like, well, then why are you sending him away? You know, like it's like really calling him out in their bullshit. And I have this conversation about China versus America.
So I think it was Yuping is her name.
That's this. Yuping is the sister, is Nai Nai's sister. The mom is, it looks like, I think it's Lu Xian, I think.
Okay, so the mother of Bao is the daughter of Nai Nai's sister.
Oh, okay.
So gotcha. She is she is Awkwafina's dad's cousin.
Okay.
Yeah. I got you there, don't worry. But yeah, so I think that scene in particular is very powerful because everyone's trying to be cordial and somber and respectful, but then they get at it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's another one of those dichotomy type moments where you see like almost the East pinned against the West, rather than like potential different opportunities. It's like, oh, if you think China's so good, why is your kid going overseas? Or like, oh, how's America going? Clearly your daughter isn't paying the bills.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really good scene. And like, throughout this movie, I wrote in my notes, like, people are just throwing heaters at each other, man. Like, especially, like, even Nai Nai is just like throwing shade at so many people.
We didn't really bring it up yet, but Nai Nai, the actress who plays her, is outstanding.
Oh, she's incredible.
She's so good. She had like fits the grandmotherly role to perfection.
Perfect.
Like, I want her to be my grandma. Like, and her dynamic with her family and her dynamic with Billy is just so nice. And, you know, just the way she interacts with like the whole world is just so like spot on grandma. Like, no, you said lobster. It was supposed to be lobster.
Yeah.
And then like, go get the chef. I'll talk to the chef. It's like,
or also like she's telling Billy's mom, like, you can't let my son drink too much, and then later let him drink as much as they want. They probably haven't been together for, you know, 25 years.
25 years. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she was incredible. And I mean, yeah, the hardest movie is the relationship between her and Billy, and that is just like really like amazing to watch.
And it's so healthy, which is I think why it's so painful for Billy. Because I mean, it's pretty much, it's insinuated that they talk nearly all the time, every day, if not every day. And so they clearly have a very strong relationship, even if they're worlds apart. But that must be why it's just so difficult to keep this big secret.
Yeah. And everyone in the family knows that they're close because they try to make Billy not come.
Like, yeah, they say it's probably best if you don't because you got a bad poker face.
Yeah, which is also just like insane. A couple other notes I wrote down just to mention, cupping is no joke. When she looked at her back the next day, and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, man, no thanks, no thank you.
Yeah, never done it, but it doesn't look all too fun.
Another thing I wrote down is, why was this hot doctor upselling an x-ray? She's got stage 4 lung cancer. You know, make him get an x-ray, you know what's going on.
He's trying to get his quotas, you know.
You know, what was that?
I mean, surely in China they have socialized medicine, so he's just getting a paycheck from the government.
And the last thing I wrote down was composer and cinematographer popping off in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The
score
music
was incredible.
Is so on point. To tie back to the one of the closing scenes, that moment when Nai Nai runs out into the road behind the taxi, the music just cuts. It diminishes out to nothing. And there's just a moment of silence that broke me. And it's just so perfect. I think all the music is terrific and very fitting and melancholic pretty much all the way through.
Also, about the music really quick, I didn't realize that Billy was playing the piano I thought it was just the score, and then it cuts and she's playing the piano in the room. I thought that was like super cool reveal.
The difference between diegetic and non-diegetic, which we've discussed in the past.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful song too. In for someone who doesn't play anymore, I think that I love that scene. It reminded me a lot of Five Easy Pieces, although in a bit of a different mood. Because right after she was done, Awkwafina didn't say, "That's the easiest song I know."
Well, okay, so I'm wondering, does she actually not play anymore? Or did she just say that because she didn't get the fellowship and she's like, I don't want to talk about it? Because I'm assuming the fellowship was related to playing piano, but I guess it's not really...
I don't know,
really
actually.
It doesn't really matter, but I'm just curious.
No, I would think... No, I think she wants to be a writer.
Oh, right. Yeah, they also mentioned that, yeah.
Because I was going to say... She hadn't told her folks that she didn't get the fellowship, but she did at the table say she doesn't play piano anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And then, yeah, you also mentioned the cinematography. I think you're right. I think this movie is very beautifully shot. Yeah. A lot of muted but warm color palettes.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of reds in rooms, but still feeling kind of dull. And then also there are just a few really good shots. One in particular that I'm thinking of is, I think it's when they brought Nai-Nai home from when she went to the hospital, but it's the whole family in just a wide shot sitting all behind each other and Billy right in the middle, and they're just staring.
Yeah. I think, well, is that the one where they're walking towards the camera? Like, it's the one where the whole family is like walking down the street, all facing the camera.
Not that one, but I like that shot as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really loved a lot of the framing and a lot of the... Sometimes the shots feel claustrophobic. Sometimes it's you're following people walking. Like I said, the colors a lot. Like, it's just a very, very beautiful movie that, like... Yeah, I think they're right. The color palette really matches the emotion of the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, this is incredible. I don't really have much more to say. I really, really enjoyed this movie and highly recommend it.
I'll just put, like, a just closing comment on... Because I didn't think I really had that much to say. Obviously, 28 minutes in, I had quite a bit to say. But one of the just big takeaways for this is I love to see the familial culture, just the family environment that they have in China. It's so beautiful. The ambiance and the just kind of the air of the house and everyone in it together, and just the familial vibe is really lovely. Just a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, 100%. Especially with the meals, right? They're all eating and got a bunch of different dishes out there and grabbing stuff. Like, yeah, it's really, really fun to watch. As far as recommendations, I have a couple.
Okay.
One I just thought of, because we're talking about the kind of dichotomy between the two ideas, right? Do the right thing comes to mind. Similar, well, probably a little heavier subject matter. But it's similar in that it shows kind of two sides of an argument. It doesn't really choose one. But the other show I'd written down that I thought of while I was watching this yesterday was just the suppression of emotions by Billy. Really reminded me of the anime Mob Psycho 100, which kind of what that show is all about is dealing with your emotions. And so if you're interested in the kind of that story or exploration of that theme, I'd recommend checking that show out.
So this is not an original thought. I ripped it off of someone online, but 50-50. Did you see that movie?
Mm-mm. With Seth Rogen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Seth Rogen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It deals with a cancer diagnosis and just it's kind of a quiet movie about dealing with it. It has comedic moments and some levity in what overall is a pretty sad story most of the way through. But really, another just beautiful movie. It had slipped my mind, but I might rewatch that one at some point.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Very good. Very good movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to watch that at some point. All right. Well, that is our review of The Farewell. Before we reveal we're watching next week, we got to do our bonus reviews. Perk, why don't you start us off?
All right. So I went out and I watched the movie that everyone's talking about this week. Super Murder Mystery 2.
Oh, okay. Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston.
I threw you for a loop there because you thought I was going to say Super Mario Brothers movie.
Mm-hmm.
No, I saw on my phone that the new murder mystery movie was out, and I'm like, you're kidding. They made another one?
You watched the first one?
Yeah, I watched it when it came out. It was fairly pleasant. It was a straightforward murder mystery on a boat. It might as well have been Death on the Nile, but we plug in Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler pretending to be a couple.
Yeah.
And the first one I remember as being pretty funny and fine, like not outstanding from a story perspective. But what I didn't realize until I watched the second one is that the first one holds no place in my mind at all. It is entirely gone. Uh-huh. There are like half a dozen return characters from the first movie, and I had no idea who any of them were. No clue. So this one revolves around a kidnapping, and the guy who gets kidnapped was clearly in the first movie. I'm like, who is this man? All his jokes are terrible. He just calls everyone bro. And he's like, he's the Maharaja or something. And so he's an Indian guy, I think, in the plot, who just like says, yo, what's up, dude? And it's just, it's comedy. Cringe. Love it's it. Terrible. Yeah. And then just there are other callback characters. It's like, I needed a precursor. I needed a reminder because Lord knows I'm not going to go watch that movie again.
Yeah.
But after finishing the second one, same thing, right out the door. It's all gone. It was not funny. There were a couple good bits. The story actually doesn't suck. It is the most obvious person, but with a bit of a twist. I don't know.
Okay.
It's kind of a bit of a plot contrivance, but murder mysteries usually are. The acting is fine. I don't know. I like to watch Adam Sandler goof around in beautiful places.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston's good too. But yeah.
Would you recommend it?
No, not a chance. Don't watch it. Christ. It's fine. It's not funny. The story's okay. I've already forgotten about it. And I watched it 2 days ago.
That sounds about right.
Yep.
Well, we'll probably get a third one. So.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, this one will make money hand over fist, as evidenced by every other Sandler movie that's gone to Netflix.
Mm-hmm. People love Sandler, man. And he's great. Well, Perk, you joked about it, but I actually did go out to the theater and see Super Mario Movie. All right? And I'll tell you what. This movie had a lot of controversy because the critics hated it and the fans loved it. And after watching it, I can see both sides very clearly.
Gotcha.
So here's the thing about this movie. Like, it is arguably the best video game adaptation I've ever seen from the criteria of, like, taking the game mechanics and, like, game features and, like, technology in the game and putting them in a movie and and using them in a cool, fun way. Like, this movie is chock full of references, and not in like a Ready Player One way, or just like, okay, it's like they're actually like used in the story, and it's really, really just fun. And like, if you're a Nintendo fan, if you're a Mario fan, you're gonna have a blast just like watching all that stuff unfold, right? And I think if you're a kid, it's totally a good, fun kids movie with just colorful and action and, you know, comedy that mostly works, right? I think my main like disappointment with this movie is like, I feel like with a little bit more work, it could have been a lot better. And by that, I'm mostly talking about like the script. This movie felt very rushed at points, and it was just kind of like, okay, I guess we're just moving on to the next thing. It felt like they were like, okay, well, attention spans are getting small these days. We got to just move, go, 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 go. And I'm like, you could have just spent a little bit more time. Like, here's an example, because it's in the trailer. This is not a spoiler. You know, Mario pops out of the pipe and he meets Toad right away, right? And Toad's like, ah, blah, blah, whatever. I'm Toad. Toad is not confused at all that a human has just popped out in the Mushroom Kingdom. He's like, hey, we're best friends now. Let's go see the princess. Like, maybe we could have a little bit of conversation of like, who are you? Who am I? Why should we be together? Why should Toad be along for this whole journey, right? None of that. Toad's just there this whole movie for no reason. And it's like, okay, I'm not saying Tony needs to be the most fleshed out character, but like a line of dialogue that explains his motivations would have been great. Similarly, maybe it's with Mario,
a little too true to the game, because like, what does Toad contribute in Super Mario Brothers?
But it's like, this is the chance to do it.
Oh no, the princess isn't here. That's it.
This is the chance to like make it make sense. You know what I mean? And like, when Mario meets Peach, they're just like, oh yeah, we're together now. We're gonna go do this. It's like, spend like I'm asking for like three more lines of dialogue to just flesh out these relationships a little bit more. You know, and that's like, that's all I think it would have taken for me to care about these characters a little more. I will say, I think like, there are good dynamics, like the Mario-Luigi dynamic is really, really good and, like, more fleshed out. And, like, they add some, like, lore that I think is really cool. And, like, they add in stuff that's awesome. And I think, like, the whole setting and stuff is really fun. There's no plot. There's no plot Mario game, right? Like, it's not a surprise. I'm not a huge, like, I don't really care that there's not a ton of plot. I just wish, like, the writing and, like, the character dynamics would have been a little bit more fleshed out. That's really, I think, all this movie needed to be a little bit above, you know, it's kind of the standard fare. And that's really what it comes down to, is like, who would I recommend this movie to? Kids and adults who like Mario.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. If you're just like, if like my parent, I would not recommend this to my, yeah, I can't talk. I would not recommend this movie to my parents because they don't care about video games and there's nothing else going on in this movie that is there for them to kind of grasp onto.
I had heard that there's not any like hand holding with the lore. Like,
yeah,
you kind of got to just know. Like, if he's going to eat a mushroom, he's going to get big. And you just have to take that at face value rather than being like, why did that happen?
But granted, like, how much of the American population knows that? Probably a large percentage, most. Right?
I personally don't want that in a movie. I would, like, given, okay, I want that in movies that I'm not familiar. But if I'm watching something about, yeah, like Mario, which is a game series I've played for more than a decade, you know, mm-hmm. I don't need you to tell me what a mushroom does.
Yeah.
Or don't need like an explanation as to why he's wearing cat pajamas.
Right. And I think I'm more on that side as well. Like, I'm glad they didn't explain every little thing, because we all know, right? We know how Mario Kart works, right? And it's fun to watch that on the big screen. I just think what we don't know a lot is, yeah, like, why do Mario and Peach, like, how do they meet? What is their connection?
That's true.
And Toad and Bowser and all that stuff, and, you know, whatever. But I will say, Chris Pratt did great. I stand corrected. I forgot pretty much immediately it was him. I would think is the best thing I could say. I think the entire voice cast is incredible, except for Fred Armisen. Don't know why they chose him to play the role he did. Did not make any sense.
What role does he play?
He plays Cranky Kong. And Cranky Kong's supposed to be, like, an older Kong, and the voice is very odd. It's just like,
is it just Fred Armisen doing Fred Armisen voice?
No, he's doing a voice. It's just not a voice that fits that character at all. It's very, very strange.
The voice.
And I love Fred Armisen, but it's just, I don't know. Besides that, though, voice cast great. Jack Black is being Jack Black, and it's really fun. You've probably seen the memes already online, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Overall, like, one last thing I'll say too. If you're like an animation fan, watch this movie. The movie is gorgeous. Like, the textures on everything is gorgeous. The action is really well choreographed. The colors are fantastic. Like, from a pure just, like, technical standpoint, I think this is a really, really cool movie and should be appreciated for that. Oh, and also the soundtrack is fucking incredible, man. They bring in so many just Mario themes and stuff from all throughout the game series and different, like, Mario Kart and, you know, all the Mario games. Like, it's really, really freaking awesome. So, if you're a Nintendo fan, Mario fan, you got to see it. But if you're just, like, an average person who doesn't care that much about Mario, you don't gotta go out to theaters to see it. But
the only other question I had was, I had also heard that the movie is maybe a little too accessible to children. Like, it feels a little too much like a kid's movie, even though that's obviously what it was supposed to be.
I don't know. I don't really care about that.
Okay, fair enough.
If you're going to this movie, you know what you're going to get. And, like, if you're mad that it's not more for adults.
Well, the trouble is, right, like, the diehard Mario fans are all older than us. They're, like,
yeah, but, like, if you're a diehard Mario fan, you're having so much fun seeing the references. Like, I don't think you're going to care that much that there isn't a lot else for you. Like,
to counter my own argument, like, Mario's still out there, you know? Like, kids probably Like, there are probably 6-7-year-old kids who love Mario Odyssey and stuff like that. So
definitely.
Whereas, to counterpoint, when they made The Incredibles 2 20 years down the road, your target audience, like, kids didn't grow up with The Incredibles after us, pretty much, or at least not with such a, like, a passion for it. So your main, like, the people most excited about another Incredibles movie are 20-somethings. So you got to, like, age it up a little bit or do a little more. I don't know. And they pretty much just made the same movie, which was fine. But it was good, but it certainly wasn't 20 years later good.
Right. And, like...
Sorry, rant about Incredibles is over now.
No, you're fine. And, like, if you look at older, like, certain, like, old Disney movies, there are, like, jokes for it only for adults in there. Right?
There
only
are. Adults will get. That's true.
Those aren't really in this movie, right? And maybe could have used, like, one or two just to keep the adults a little bit more engaged. But I don't know. Like, like I said, if you're an adult and you don't care about Mario at all, don't see this movie. It's not for you. Like, this movie is for Nintendo fans and kids. And if you're not one of those two things, then don't see it.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. But this movie's going to make insane amounts of money. Like, I went on Saturday and I, like, thought, like, oh, I could get, like, a single ticket at any time I want to. No, like, Shuffle was sold out, like, pretty handily. So, like, this movie's going to make a shitload of money, and they will make many more, and I'll probably see them because it's really fun, and
I want to see the chance they do. I just wish it weren't Illumination.
Yeah, they're fine.
They have a terrible track record.
Yeah,
they've been
making
Minion. They've got, like, 24 Minions movies out. That's what they're riding.
I would
at
argue
least
the
now
Mario.
They have a new IP.
I say the Mario IP is a lot stronger than the Minions IP in my. As far as, like, just Nintendo is a lot stronger of a.
It's true because
stable
it opens,
you can draw from.
It opens the door, right? Like, maybe after, because I've been seeing the numbers. The success of this movie is wild.
It's insane.
So maybe this green lights and we get, like, a Zelda movie that's maybe a little more aged up, a touch.
A little story heavy, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
because that
the
game
dream
like
perk,
that has to be story heavy.
The dream, we get Mario, we get Zelda, we get Donkey Kong, whatever, and we actually get to a Smash Bros. Movie. Come on. It'd be fucking awesome. That's what I want to see.
I've got great memories of playing the Smash Bros. Brawl story mode.
Dude, if they adapted that, that'd be so funny.
Maybe we get to go, like, fight against, we get to watch Mario fight against a big glove.
Mm-hmm. That's Master Hand, baby.
Yep.
So yeah, it was fun, but like I said, don't go see us if you don't care about Nintendo and you're an adult, because not a lot there. So anyway, back to you, Bert. What else did you watch this week?
I watched one of my favorite bad movies of all time.
Mm.
I was doing nothing after finishing Murder Mystery 2, and one of my homies hit me up and said, "Come over here. We're gonna get drunk." And I'm like, "Okay, I can do that." Mm-hmm. I can go out.
I can
my
do
way.
That for you. Yeah,
I can put some pants on and leave my apartment. And we went over there, and they didn't really have a plan of action. So I said, "All right, we're gonna get drunk. We're gonna watch Samurai Cop 2." but one of the present members had not seen the original Samurai Cop, so instead we rewatched, which I've seen before. The original Samurai Cop, which I'm sure I have talked your ear off about in the past, Jacob.
You have.
Yes. Wonderful movie. Just one of the worst movies ever made. But it's beautiful in the way that, like, the director is just some weird guy who was absolutely giving it his all.
Mm-hmm.
And I compare it with Tommy Wiseau's The Room. And I'm super interested to watch the second Samurai Cop because it came out in 2015 and it co-stars Tommy Wiseau.
Oh my god.
So, like, at that point it is trying to be bad, but like, it's an IP I have interest in. Basically, the plot is there's a guy who's called the Samurai Cop who gets called up from San Diego to LA to deal with a Japanese gang. We don't really know why he's called the Samurai Cop. He uses a samurai sword, like, twice in the movie, but only because someone else dropped it. He doesn't walk around with the samurai sword. They call him that. And there's an expository line which says, like, oh, yeah, he went to Japan and trained with the masters. Mm-hmm. He speaks fluent Japanese. He doesn't say a single word of Japanese in the movie. And just the production is hilarious. Every scene is shot during the day because they didn't buy lighting. Almost all the extras are ADR dubbed, but because the director did such, like, he reshot most of the movie, and the extras wouldn't come back, so almost all the extras are just the director recording his own voice and then just modulating it through a vocoder to sound a little different. It sounds terrible every time. It's like, hey, get out of the way. Hey, what are you doing? Come back here.
I mean, it's creative. It's creative.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Is it effective? Probably not.
No, but it made me laugh my ass off. So the main character, the context is it's a ripoff of what's the Lethal Weapon. And the main character has the long hair.
Yep, mullet.
Yeah, but not even a mullet. It's just like almost like a long just brown hair.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
But after filming, he cut it off. But then they did a whole heap of reshoots. So in almost every other scene, he is just wearing an atrocious wig. And it's beautiful. And it's a classic. Great drinking game opportunity to be like, when you see the terrible wig, take a sip. There's like six gratuitous sex scenes where the people on screen don't look like they know what sex is. Which is just, it's hilarious to watch. and the action stinks because it's terribly shot, but it's entertaining. And then there are just some wild out-of-pocket scenes, which have I showed you the hospital scene?
Probably. It was been
I
a
probably
minute.
Have. It's ridiculous. I'll send it your way if you haven't seen it. But yeah, basically, one of the best movies of all time to watch with friends and copious amounts of alcohol. Can't recommend it enough. It's on all those free streaming services. I think we watched it on Pluto or something. But also, I think the full movie is on YouTube with Portuguese subtitles. So
love that. Love yeah. that. Definitely need those.
It adds to the experience.
I want to give a shout out to a trailer. Before I throw it back to you, Perk. I think it dropped today. Maybe it was yesterday. The trailer for Star Wars Visions Season 2, or Volume 2. If you don't remember, this is the anthology series where every
anime
episode...
Anime style, right?
So every episode is a different animation studio.
Okay.
Season 1 was all Japanese, all anime. This season looks like they're doing all around the world. So
okay.
I haven't seen the full list, but... I believe the Wallace and Gromit studio is doing one.
Oh, that's
and
it's fantastic.
There's a few like stop motion. Just check out the trailer because the animation styles are even more varied and wild than the last season. And it just looks really, really, really cool. If you're a fan of animation, I think it's going to be awesome. I've kind of waned down in Star Wars recently, but I've been looking forward to this for a while. And I'm super excited to see what these people do with the IP. Because it's all filler, so it's like doesn't really matter. So they can do whatever the fuck they want. And it just looks beautiful and awesome. So... very excited for that. All right, Perk, what's the last thing?
Yeah, so I got another game review for the people at home. I've just been staring at my Steam library and being like, yeah, I should play that. It's been sitting there for 8 years. You might as well. I played Grow Up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is the sequel to Grow Home.
I played Grow Home.
Yeah, I played Grow Home on my brother's PlayStation when I was in, like, high school or something. I loved it. So
fun
cool.
game, yeah.
Yeah, just super pleasant, open worldy. You just kind of wander around growing plants and stuff and trying to grow up to the sky. And the second
like
one
Jack
is,
and the Beanstalk Simulator.
Yeah, the second one is just very similar to the first, but just more. And... a much larger world, like a beautiful little globe that you can traverse. The power-ups you get are more helpful to the point where you can end up with like a glider with a booster pack and you can pretty much just fly like circles around the whole world. In this one, you're putting back together mom's ship because her ship blew up in an asteroid, and you got to go around the world, grab all the pieces, and grow these big giant beanstalk star plants, and the final big plant gets you to the moon, and that's where you put Mom back together, and it is just such a wildly pleasant and almost therapeutic mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm. It is very light puzzling, but there's harder challenges and stuff that are optional and you can do if you want. It's just super fun to explore. The pacing is great. Never feels dull. It's a quick game. I played it in probably 5 or 6 hours, but I'll probably go back because my OCD will not let me not get all of the crystals, you know.
Yep, we got 100% the
bad beat boy. All the challenges, and it is a very fun just kind of world to hang out in. So I think I won't have any problem going back even after completing the story. But yeah, I had forgotten, but when I booted it up, you see the Ubisoft sparkle, and I'm like, really?
Ubisoft was actually making good games.
Even vaguely creative? This isn't another Assassin's Creed game. What are they doing? This isn't the 10-year anniversary of Rainbow Six Siege.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's great. I would highly recommend both games. You can play them both in a weekend, probably, if you're bored.
Yeah, I think those are good games as, like, if you don't play games a lot. Or haven't played a lot of games, are good, like, ones to start out with. They're very simple.
They're pretty accessible. The controls can be a little goofy, but... And extremely family-friendly. Like,
yeah.
I think I recommended my aunt to get this game for my cousin, who was, like, 8 at the time. Just like there's like just it's so approachable and wholesome.
Yeah,
just trying to put someone back together, you know. So
it's a great time. Awesome. Yeah. Well, there we go. That is our show for this week. Next week we are following Tai Ma, who played Billy's dad in The Farewell, to, well, Perk, why don't you reveal
what we're watching. So we had some potential options. This movie is a little bit limited on branches to get out, other than Tai Ma, who was great. Was great mm-hmm. in this movie, by the way. And like Awkwafina, but that's how we got here.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in a little ditty in 1996 with Keanu Reeves and Morgan Freeman called Chain Reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what it's about. Critics hate it. Audiences hate it. And I really want to watch it.
We're going to love it.
I hope to at least just get some value out of laughing at how bad it is.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun time. I love 90s Keanu.
It's 90s Keanu, man. It's got to be at least like palatable.
Yeah, I think it will be. So yeah, Chain Reaction next week. You can watch it on Tubi for free, I believe, or you can rent it. So up to you. Tubi might have ads. I'm not really sure how
Tubi works. But it does.
Yeah, Tubi with ads or renting. But Tubi, next week.
Sorry to cut in. Fun fact. Tubi is owned by Fox, which is owned by Disney. And then Freevee is owned by Amazon. So right. These like ad streaming services are just like big streaming services' ways of getting us back to cable television.
Right. And, yep. You know, it kind of works sometimes. But
It's a little problematic. I think Peacock, the free, does it all right. Because when I watched all the John Wick movies... They have the ads kind of stacked in the beginning, and then in the back half of the movie, there's like one ad. That I appreciate.
Hulu doesn't really have ads for movies because there's so much show content on Hulu that they just like stack them in shows. But like, when I watched like Petite Maman on Hulu, there wasn't really hardly any ads.
I wouldn't know. I pay for ad-free Hulu because I'm extremely wealthy. disregard the conversation we had before we started recording. All right. Get us out of here, Jake.
Next week, Chain Reaction. On Tubi and Torrent. But until then, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.